Hello, hi. I am Isoellen, and this is Isoellen Writes Grown Up Storytime, another pop-up live stream. I have just been getting the wonderful chance to interview so many amazing people. I'm very excited today to have two guests. If I do this right, if we get everything done right, if I do it all right, we've got two guests happening today, Stefan and Shelley. I'm just sharing this out to the Twitterverse. I'm not even going to hashtag it. There we go. That is out. And here we are. I need to keep an eye on them to make sure to see if they come into the room. While I am talking to you guys. Oh, there's Stefan. One, I've got one. Are you both coming in or is it? Have I got my music still on loud? It's low now. So thank you, everybody. It is a beautiful day. It is 10 a.m. here in the Pacific Northwest, and they are calling in from overseas. Now that you're in the studio, Stefan, you will see a little thing that says call in, and that is you. You may call in whenever you are ready. You just need to have headphones and a mic, and anybody really could call in. And there he is. Ah!
I'm here.
Good morning.
Good evening.
Good evening. I like that.
I'm just trying to help Shelley dial in as well.
Oh, right. Oh, my God. How fun this is going to be.
Yeah. Her Podbean is showing the show is starting soon. So I'm just trying to help her.
Why is she starting soon, but you're here? I don't understand.
I don't know.
There she is.
Yeah. So that one. Is she there?
She is. I see her in the room and she is calling in.
Well, how exciting.
Oh, look, you're here.
Have I logged in?
Oh, no, there are two of you. There's a little bit of an echo. Do you want to go in a different room?
I'm walking away from her right now.
I had that happen once. I didn't realize that it would cause an echo, you know, if I think you had the radio playing to listen to me or something, or the app playing, and there was a little bit of annoying echo, and he felt really bad. My guest did, and I'm like, oh, well, don't worry. We're not professionals here.
We're just as well for me.
Oh, just so easy to say, thank God.
No, we're just relaxed. We're just having a conversation. It's just like a telephone call, right? So
yeah,
nobody expects professional. We are good.
Stefan's definitely not professional, so that'll suit him.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome, darling.
I had no idea. All the content you put out is so, well, it's a little smutty, but it's very professional looking.
Don't give them a big head.
Okay, I take it back. It's crap. No.
See, if it wasn't for the echo, she'd be sat next to me getting a slap right now.
Oh, you wouldn't do that, would you?
Yes, he would. I've actually moved to a completely different room because I'm a little afraid.
You're safe now, at least until it's over. Is that how that works?
Pretty much,
exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
She'll have red handprints on her backside by the time I'm finished.
So happy.
Oh, good Lord. I need a fan.
You did say this was X-rated, didn't you?
Yeah, no, you're good. You're not safe for work. We're good. So it is X-rated. It's okay.
just checking in case I've offended half of the under 18 population in the world by now.
Yeah, well, the thing is they have access to it. They're just, you know, it's supposed to make them not look, right? You post the warning in adults only, and all the young people, they're just going to walk on by, right?
They know. Yeah, of course. Yeah. The same...
What'd you say, Shelley?
Yeah, it works every time. They just walk right on by.
They're not going to be interested at all. No, not it's at all. Fine. No. Oh, yeah, it's funny how that works, the internet. It's really funny. Yeah, all you have to do is click that little over 18 button and whee!
Yep. Borrow daddy's credit card and next thing you know.
Yeah, that's how it happens. So, Stefan, okay, I'm going to talk to you first. You are an erotic photographer, and you take some – I've been talking about your photos for a while now. So tell me what you do now, and we will talk about some of the things I know that you are doing in the future that you are getting ready to launch if you want, and then our project as well. And because I need to have a chance for you both to talk. I want to hear part of Shelley's story too, because that's awesome. So we might have to do this more than once. So tell me about your erotic photography. Tell me about quickly. not your whole journey, because you're quite the storyteller as well.
yes, he is.
But at least tell me if you had a tagline or walked in and had to describe your business to somebody. Tell me that.
Okay. I would like to say that I take tasteful erotica and fetish. So the kind of imagery that I produce, I would hope, appeals across both sexes. So it's not just in-your-face open leg porn, something that's left to the imagination, something that causes people to sit up, look twice and think, yeah, okay, I get that. And occasionally I like to produce something that just shocks.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. but even then, the shock value, I try not to make it too explicit. It's more what's going on in the mind.
It really is. I agree. So I don't know. I guess, I mean, other than my exposure on Twitter to GIFs and photos and stuff, I don't know a lot about the photographic porn erotic industry. Do you think that you trying to do it tastefully and tell a story and show it in a different light is something different or unique among the group?
I think there's.
I mean, it is for me. But
yeah, I think there's very few people who work like me. I'm certainly not the only one. I've taken my inspiration from others. But the majority of photographers out there are very much into the porn and the glamour side of it. You know, sort of lie back, open your legs, take a picture, put it on the internet, and 99% of the internet that are male seem to lap that up. Where I sort of come in is I want a broader appeal. So I want the pervs looking because that's where the money is, but I also want the more cerebral side of things, hence leaving things to the imagination rather than just posting open leg, fingers in fanny kind of shots all the time.
Oh my God, that sounds so brutal.
That's not to say I don't shoot that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen things like that. I mean, it's...
Yeah. I'm not saying I don't shoot it, but I prefer to think that mine is more cerebral. Hence, you know, turn it into black and white, throw a load of contrast at it. Hey, it's art then.
Well, it is. I mean, you capture a mood. Did you tell me you have done art shows and they've been well received? I'm wondering how that goes. What does that look like when you do an art show?
I've been invited to a few exhibitions now. My last one was in Manchester, UK, and then before that, London, UK. I was hoping to get over to Seattle this year, but obviously with coronavirus and things like that, that just wasn't meant to be.
Oh, my goodness. If you come to Seattle anytime soon, you need to let me know. I will come up and see you. That would be so neat. Yes. Oh, please. That would be so amazing. Cool. Or Portland, Seattle or Portland.
I tell you what, that's a date.
That would be amazing. So anyways, so you wanted to get up, but you've done a couple of shows and I was asking if they've been well received. How did you think they were received?
They were very well received, to the point where it was off the back of those that I got the suggestion for Seattle. And I've got an open invite for an exhibition in Amsterdam that should be coming up next year.
Oh, wow.
There's a couple of sort of fetish organizations. They're currently based in the UK, but they're aiming at worldwide. And they're after some of my images to help promote. And then there's this sort of group I've met on Twitter, and they're all these sort of mad authory, writery type people.
I wouldn't know who you're talking
to like my work as well.
Stefan, is that what you're going to tell us?
Pardon?
Have they led you astray? Is that what you're going to tell us?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Led you down a path of darkness.
Yes, and it was absolutely nothing. Nothing to do with me before. I was young, pure and innocent. And then I find myself taking all of these rather raunchy images inspired by poetry. I mean, how does that happen?
I'll tell you, that has just been amazing. Honestly, even for me as an onlooker, my mind is just blown between your words and Stefan's images. It just works. It's incredible.
Yeah, I don't even know. It's very different for me. Your photos, they are very evocative. I mean, you can't say they're not, but I guess the first one I saw was, I can't even see. I'm not, yeah, dark path have taken you down. It's hard for me even to say describe the photos out loud. But yeah, so they just challenged me because with their beauty, the video that you took, the rawness of it, you did the kind of art noir feel of it, even though you were like, it wasn't very good. I mean, it was this very intimate moment and it just felt intimate with your contrast and the way you arted it up and the expressions and not pausing to fix makeup or make it worse, you know, exaggerate it one way or another, keeping it real, you know, the whole that and your other images, even the explicit ones that make me really uncomfortable, like maybe the spanking results or I don't know what causes that bruising effect actually. but those results.
I can bring some things to Seattle if you want.
Say no.
Oh, no. No, you know, I already have somebody who challenges me in this area. Do not make it worse for me. Okay. So I have that's all I'm saying. No. Oh, good Lord. Oh, take a moment. Okay. Anyway, so your image, but you can sense the emotion in them. It's like, for me, I don't see it as a woman. I'm not entering into a porn image. I'm entering into a story image with all this emotion and this feeling. And coming from my particular background, having not experienced things and I'm not necessarily, I mean, I've read enough about it in books because dark romance is a thing. All this stuff is a thing. It's been a thing for years. It's been out. Allura's Cave is an ebook company that came out in the early 2000s that actually popularized this stuff. And Lucid and a couple and the ebooks when they started, the erotica ebooks, they had almost no boundaries. There's a lot more actually censorship now through Amazon and different things. And they were all women writers exploring all their deepest kinks and fantasies. It was 95%. And so before you had to get this stuff hardbound and bodice rippers, and it was kind of you could get it, but they took the erotica and the romance to next level. Right.
Yeah.
And so then your pictures come out and I'm like, that is a little bit like that for me. Those moments of discovering those books, you know, your your fantasy, they're romantic to me as because of the intimacy of them.
Yes.
And yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say that was kind of what attracted me to the fetish world. Before I got into it myself as a dom, I had a couple of models that I was working with that were very much into the fetish scene. So I got invited along to the clubs and things like that. And I didn't get it. I couldn't understand this whole hitty thumpy world.
Hitty thumpy world.
I love the way he says that. Hitty thumpy world.
Hitty thumpy world. Is that what he calls it? It's time for hitty thumpy, Shelley. Yeah. Anyway.
The hitty thumpy things. I'm like, oh my God. Okay.
Here's my table full of hitty thumpy things.
Yeah, okay. That's exactly. Here's my selection.
Anyway, I'm well, sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. But it was the looks between the people involved, and that's what captivated me. Throughout my travels and my photographic career, I've always tried to capture emotion. And when I entered the world of BDSM, I saw some real raw passion. Yes, there was pain. Yes, that there was suffering. But the look of love between a sub and a dom was something like I'd never seen before in my life. And I just knew that I had to capture that.
Wow. See, that's cool. That's neat. Because that's what I, in the books that I read, that's the romance that I read. I can't read it without a little bit of romance, without a happy ever end after. It's a little bit of fantasy. And yeah. I got to have all of that together. And because that makes it safe for me. For me, in the realm of commitment, it becomes safe and it becomes okay for me. And so your pictures somehow do that. They create that relationship between the viewer is just the voyeur looking in, getting a peek. And then even if there's, you know, sometimes you're in it or you have somebody else, but it's almost always just the woman. But still, I'm still getting a peek into that relation when she's tied up, because you know somebody yep. tied her up. You know?
Of course.
I've tried that. He hasn't done that to me yet.
You do know she's lying right now, don't you?
Yes, because that was all new for you, Shelley. I understand that was those photos that are recent. Is that the first time you've been tied up like that? Or
yes, the very first time.
And then he's like, "Okay,
that happened." I'm like, "Oh my God, what is this?"
Oh my God, what is? And so you're like, "Did I agree to this?"
Honestly, I was like. But to be fair, the end result, I personally think the images are stunning.
They are. I agree. I absolutely agree. Just the little details, just the they are amazing in every way, shape, or form. I love your hands. I don't know if you did that on purpose or whatever, but your hands, your fingers emote so much within the ropes and then your positioning and everything is just, it tells all kinds of stories to me. Just
it's
all,
a real bond of trust.
Yeah. And so, and how long does that take? Let me just, because he's not only tying you up, which takes a long time. Some of those coils and things I understand take time, but then he's taking photos. I want to, what is the conversation that happens while he's, okay, just.
I'm not sure that's suitable for the ear.
It's not safe for work. You're safe.
No, yeah, you're fine. You can tell me. I mean, are you cussing at him the whole time or what?
There's no cussing. Not really. Not in the kind that you dislike it. It's just, that's quite enjoyable. Oh, fuck this. That's quite enjoyable, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
No, I just can't even imagine. So when I see them, I'm just basing on what I think I would feel, you know, when I'm writing poetry about it, and that raw emotion that I would feel. Because I always thought it would be this, I don't know, I'm just guessing. But so far, oh, Lord. So, yeah. So that was your first time being tied up. Did you suffer any ill effects? How long did it take you to recover? What is that like?
you just kind of lose track of time. So how long did it take? I couldn't tell you. You're just totally immersed in the experience, if you like.
Wow.
And for me, it's really about the bond that Stefan and I share. That's what makes it really intimate. That's what makes it really special.
But you guys met online.
We did. Through Twitter.
You met online on Twitter. And, you know, I have a niece, actually. She married through a dating service. She met her husband through, that's how they met online still. But you guys met just randomly through... I need to know how, what did you think of him at first? Tell me, so you are a model. Tell me first about, and I do want to hear your story. I might need to have you alone to hear that story. But so you're a model
Do you want me to hang up now?
No, you're fine. You're fine. I need you for like peanut gallery input. You know, you can add your two cents.
Yeah, you can have a little trickle here in there.
It's just girls talk. You can add it.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
What do you mean, uh-oh? She's there's no uh-oh here.
I just know I'm not safe.
You're not going to be spanked after this.
Oh, no, that's not my job. That's definitely not my job.
Exactly. So, I mean, there's no uh-oh for you.
Just uh-oh for me.
This is a lot of freedom for me as well. So, anyways, okay. So you are a model. How long have you been a model?
Not really long, only a couple of years, 2 years, maybe.
And was that after kind of your story took place and your story
It was something, in all honesty, that I had always wanted to do. You know, I did other things, and then I had this horrific experience, and a local photographer actually said, "Shelley, I've always wanted to work with you. Can you please try?" And I was like, well, if I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it. So I tried it and really actually enjoyed it and did really, really quite well. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. So turn the life on its head, and that's when I started modeling.
So you're modeling, were you modeling, your website says mostly with your clothes off. So it wasn't BDS. I mean, it wasn't what Stefan, it was more like lingerie and beauty
shots. It was like lingerie implied nude kind of things.
Yes, yeah.
And then although Stefan and I have done a little bit of BDSM stuff, he's a very, as you know, a very, very talented man. And
yes,
we've done a couple of shoots now. You'll see some new images soon. But I want to use his talent in a slightly different way, because fetish photography or being a fetish model is not really my thing, in all honesty. Mm-hmm. So I want to explore other sides of Stefan's work with him that are still sexy, still a little bit kinky, but maybe just not quite as explicit as some of his other work.
Yeah, yeah. 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 There, you know, it's to have that talent at hand. Hey.
It's quite useful. No, he's the one end up just with the camera. He's got talent out with the camera as well.
Yeah, I know. It's you're pretty useful to have around, Stefan.
He is. Yes.
Can you do this? Can you do that? Do you have to negotiate? Do you have to, I mean, how does that work within your dynamic? How does that...
You know, it's actually, for me, it's pretty 50-50. He's maybe a dom, but he wants what's best for me as well. And we're a real team, Stefan and I. You know, I think that's fair to say, isn't it?
I'd say so. Yeah, abso-bloody-lutely.
That's beautiful.
He's like my partner in crime. And I mean that not just personally, I mean that professionally. We're both very creative people. We have a lot in common. We can chat the shit out of shit about anything. And he's just my partner in crime, and I think I'm his. And it's a really dutiful thing, you know, a really dutiful thing in lots of ways.
So, yeah, because you add all of the communication that comes, you know, with the DS kind of dynamic that you have to have with all the trust and the rope and everything else and the extremes that you might go to. And then you put that in a relationship form where you guys really are creative and bounce ideas off of each other. That must be really amazing. You're just discovering new things. And Stefan, you seem like, both of you seem like you're like, okay, no boundaries type people. You're not afraid to, I mean, and I don't mean just like in the X-rated well. I mean, like try new things and go different directions and step yeah. out of comfort zones, like the poetry even, like me writing with the poet, you know, that's like, oh wow, this is neat, let's do this, you know.
Yeah, that's me through and through. If there's an opportunity there, especially if it's something I haven't tried before, I'm all for it, and boundaries are there to be pushed. So for me, if there's any chance that I can do something that's a little bit different, if I can show something in a different light that maybe somebody else hasn't explored, I'm all over it. I love it.
That's really cool. So you were talking about the poetry. I have said on the episode that I did with Seven that Seven and I had collaborated and that yeah. we were writing together, but I hadn't said that you were going to lend pictures, photographs for the poetry book. I need to get the poems to you. I'm still where I looked at it and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we wrote this much. 10,000 words of poems is a lot. It doesn't wow. sound like a lot, 10,000, but it is a lot. Some of them are really long and I need to go through it and break them down. They're like, they're almost whole stories because that's just how I write. It's hard for me to, yeah. I like to start with a beginning and a middle and an end. And so you have these whole erotic stories that just go. But
you're not related to Homer down the line somewhere. Right?
No, but well, good Lord, erotic Homer.
Well, I don't know. Some of his stuff was pretty raunchy.
Yeah, but there are lines and lines and once Seven gets going, he gets going too. I mean,
I think it's a non thing. Stefan's the same.
Is he?
Are we still talking about writing?
Yes, we're talking yes, about writing. Yes.
Oh, sorry, just checking.
I wouldn't know about Seven in the bed, you know. I just know about writing. Seven and okay. I are just friends. Good Lord.
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail the conversation completely. Yes.
No. No, Lady Seven is available. I just need to put that out there. He's so sweet. He's looking for his muse, in fact. We were talking about the writing and just the creativity of going off, because I love the idea of I'd love to put sound and pictures to it too and create videos for some of the work, and I don't know how to do that and add music. I mean, I'd love to take it to the nth degree I think that, you know, there's a market for it, but I think it just makes it beautiful. I
don't know. Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely.
Great idea.
Yeah, I just think, and to take these images, these intimate images, which are normally, you know, classified as something raunchy and porn or whatever, or salacious, and put them in the context of art and relationship and the BDSM communication, that's something that appeals to me greatly too. And I love how
definitely.
You know, this isn't about me though. This is about you. No, I'm sorry.
Well, no, I was going to say that, you know, from the conversations that we've had online and things like that, there's definitely a team in the making here. And I've been told that I do have a way with words, but with me, it tends to be spontaneous. It's when I'm having a conversation with somebody, I can't write for toffee. So I love the way that people like yourself and Seven have taken my images and then written words around them and told stories.
because I can't do that. I paint by numbers. So I take some light and I throw it at a few pixels and it turns into a picture on screen and people go, hey, that looks all right. Whereas you guys take it and make it something more. And that really appeals to me.
Yeah. And getting it off of Twitter where you have the little boundaries of no edits and only certain amount of letters.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that, to putting it in a context where you can really play with it and format it and make it different and unique. And I don't know. Anyway, so Shelley, I want to know, so the hell that you overcame, I really, I like to promote stories, and you have a really personal and powerful private story, and I would love for you to share that before we go on any further.
So, basically, I'll try, it's quite a long story. So
I know. Sure.
It's crazy. But in September 2010, I had a month to live. I was diagnosed with a benign brain tumor that it had been misdiagnosed for more than 10 years. So by the time it was diagnosed, it was enormous. This tumor was huge.
Wow.
And they had to get a specialist team together to try and, they knew they couldn't remove it, that they would try and debulk it. And so I went in for a 13-hour surgery. And Jesus, if I had known what would happen, I probably would have taken my chances, in all honesty. It was beyond anything I had ever, could have ever anticipated, or any consultant could have anticipated. It was horrendous. I was in a coma for a while. And
wow.
When I finally came round, I was paralyzed from the neck down. I couldn't speak. I couldn't swallow. I couldn't cough. I was deaf in one ear, blind in one eye, and I was very, very ataxic, which meant I was shaking all the time. Loads of other stuff. I can't even remember the list. It was so long. And they really, really didn't think it was possible for me to survive. But every single day, my mum would come down into intensive care and she'd be told, don't expect your daughter to be alive tomorrow. Every day I was still there. And eventually I was medically stable and put into a neurological rehabilitation centre to try and learn if I could walk again, talk again, move, get any kind of movement, get any kind of normality back. And I did, but it took 6 years. It wasn't an overnight thing. I wasn't in rehabilitation for 6 years. I was only in rehabilitation for about 3 or 4 months.
Wow.
But they basically said, that's as good as it gets. You know, you have to go home. And at that point, I was no longer in a wheelchair, but I did have a Zimmer. And I was like, oh, no. I'm not down with this. This is not cool. This is not how my life ends. So I spent 6 years traveling the UK, doing my own research, teaching myself about nutrition and various other things to be the best that I could possibly be. So now I walk, I talk, as you can tell, I don't shut up, Steph.
I'll vouch for that.
Yeah, vouch for that. And for all intents and purposes, my life is as amazing and normal as anybody else's.
Well, maybe a little bit more so. I don't know. You are definitely a woman on fire, living life to the fullest after all of that. And that is incredible as well. What an overcomer. I mean, wow, the cure was worse than the sickness. Ugh.
Yeah. And I think shocks me is that when I tell somebody, or even somebody that knows me from my village where I stay, oh God, that's wonderful.
Oh, our mic is
and look at your next as the next thing. But it took 6 years. You know, that's the thing. It didn't take 6 weeks. It didn't take 6 months. I had to be determined for 6 whole fucking wow. years. You know, you know, it's insane.
That is amazing strength. I don't know if I could. Oh, 6 years. That's a lot. Here you are.
Yeah.
You're submissive, and people are like, submissives are princesses, and they're spoiled, and they're you know, there's this side of it when you talk about it or when you read it, even where, you know, they could take a little spank in this, but they really can't endure anything. And here you've come through all of that, and you're in this relationship where you submit your will to Stefan. That's amazing. That's beautiful.
It is that, like I say, Stefan is my partner in crime, and we're a real team, so I think that's what makes it for me.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, it's that bond, and you know, it's really quite special.
It is. I have a poem somewhere. This circle of give and take. And coming from a vanilla, very vanilla life, and knowing a lot of people with, you know, regular marriages, and the communication and the things we do in marriage, you know, that happens over time. The difference between the two is so radical to me. It's like, this is what I thought marriage was, but it's not. And this is what I thought BDSM was, and it's so not. It's more like the marriage I would have wanted to have if I could have had that choice.
Yeah, that's the thing that got me as well. I knew people in vanilla marriages or relationships, and I was like, that they are either only together because it's better than having nobody, or somebody was cheating on the other person. They hadn't really spent time getting to know one another. But the Stefan and I, we have been very, very intimate in every aspect, you know, not just sexually. I mean, really, really, really getting to know one another on all kinds of levels in a way that I don't think anybody else in a vanilla relationship would put in that level of effort.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. You can, it's easy. It's true. And that's what I love, why I love writing about it, you know, getting in there and getting raw and some of it, you know, the vulnerability things and they don't always line up with, you know, some of the more modern values, but that's part of being modern is we get to choose.
Yes.
I get to choose and make my own choices and not let society, whether it's a modern feminist society or an old fashioned moral church society, it doesn't really matter who it is. I get to choose because that's where we are today. And that makes it really neat too, to be able to be, there's just so many things to write about in all the pictures and everything and stuff.
I love the fact that labels are becoming less and less.
Yes. Yes.
It used to be we all had to wear a label. And I didn't necessarily like the title Dom because that had so many connotations attached to it. But now, because BDSM, fetish, whatever you want to call it, it is becoming more mainstream. But the attitudes towards it are changing. And it's become accepted that it's more than just, I'll go back to the phrase, hitty thumpy things. It is a lifestyle. It is a bond of trust between two people. And that's what makes it beautiful.
Yes. And I agree. And there are, you know, I'm on TikTok a little bit. There's this whole, the up and comers, you know, I'm a little older. I'm 50. And so I'll look and there'll be, it's not just the young kids who are trying things out. It's the 30-year-olds and the 25 who are taking everything very seriously in the context of relationship. And normalizing it and talking about all the, you know, the consent and the, what's a good dom and what's a, you know, just how the dynamics work together. And it's like in the church, we'd call it marriage counseling, but this yes. is, you know, it's relationship counseling because of this, you know, you're drawn in, oh, sex and kink, and ooh, that's interesting, I might like this, and oh, wait, there are rules and responsibilities and self-ownership and I have to communicate yep. and yeah, yeah. back, you know. So I'm like, wow, well, all that stuff is really healthy for people to be doing. So
it seems like common sense, doesn't it?
Oh, so much so. But, you know, it, there's so much in it that's common sense. That so, you know, I would never say, hey, kids, look at this. You might want to look at Wikipedia. But, but if there was a, you know, for young girls these days who and with the rise of porn and everything and people looking at and thinking, oh, you know, kids and teenagers looking at porn and, oh, I get to spank the girl. And girls are like, huh, no, you don't. You know, all the, yeah. all, you know, the having a dynamic where you have to stop and talk about stuff before you do it is incredible. It's, you know, I could talk about this stuff all day. So anyways, Stefan, you're now, so yes. we are going to collaborate on this awesome, you know, poetry book. I don't have a name for it. I need to powwow and with you guys and get a name. It's got a theme. The theme is kind of a, listeners, if you've read any of Seven's poetry and you've heard us talk about it, his poetry tends to run towards the more raw and primal. And so it's kind of got a Beauty and the Beast or we've got succubi, incubi. I think I'm saying it right this time. We've got DS, some dom sub poetry in there. We've got, oh, some werewolf kind of ish. We've got some phantom ish poetry in there where like shadows are coming out and seducing and some, it's all very sensual and very, so we're going to collaborate on this book and it's going to be a labor of love and I cannot wait. That's but so what else are you doing? What else is going on? Are you, what else? Tell me what's next.
Ooh, I'm gonna
do you want to, or are you holding on to it?
No, I do want to share it. I'm going to hand over to Shelley.
Okay.
Because this is predominantly her idea. Ooh. And I wouldn't want to steal the limelight.
All right, okay. I was hoping.
I heard that snort.
I know it doesn't steal the limelight. I'm laughing. So Stefan and I are launching a magazine, a digital magazine. We spoke about it a few months ago, I guess, because of COVID and various things that are happening in the world. We decided that it would be a really cool thing to do this really beautiful digital magazine called Indulgent Desires, which would celebrate.
Oh, say it again. I lost you. Your mic is.
Hang on, Chevy. Say again. What was the name of the name of the magazine?
It's called Indulgent Desires.
Indulgent Desires. Okay, it's not. I can understand you. I just couldn't hear you. I think it might be your internet. Or my internet.
I think it's the internet here.
I think it's here.
So keep going. Indulgent Desires, a digital magazine. So what? It sounds very sexy. What is the theme of the digital magazine?
So basically, exactly what it says. It's all about indulgent desires. So, you know, whatever your kink is, you know, and is it also luxury travel? You know, do you want an extensive car? You know, it's a celebration of work like yours. You know, we were hoping we can get guest writers involved like yourself and Seven. It's a celebration of Stefan's beautiful images. It'll be amazing. In a past life, I used to do a lot of corporate communication and public relations. So it's something that isn't entirely new to me. So it's a project that I'm personally very excited about, and it makes a lot of sense, I think, to pull in this Twitter team that seems to have come together, as Stefan was saying earlier, to give us all an opportunity to share our work and to know all these amazing things that are happening and see what happens from there.
Yeah. It sounds incredible. It sounds right now writers are kind of for finding audience, you know, it's always platforms. It's always audience and censorship. So Twitter doesn't so much, but you're still limited. And then Medium doesn't, but they can. And still, you have to find your audience, you know. And what a neat idea to put it all together in a magazine. That sounds It sounds like it's going to be gorgeous. I want to do that.
That's what we're hoping, because we feel the same, you know, to get exposure and platforms. And, you know, it's the same thing for us photographers and a lot of models. So Seth and I thought this would be a great idea and pull it all together and give everybody a platform to share their work, you know, and do it in a really beautiful way.
Yeah, I mean, you could have, oh, yeah. Sounds amazing. We're
hoping to have themes each month. I would say, I don't think I'm giving any spoilers away. The first edition, being the first and everything else, theme will be white and virginal.
Oh.
Or first times.
That's a very good theme.
Yes. I'm enjoying shooting some of the imagery for that at the moment.
I'm quite enjoying it myself too.
Are you getting some first times?
Oh, yeah.
Listen to our voices go way up.
I've got two screechy girls in my ear now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to breathe.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's putting a huge smile on my face.
Squeaky Shelly.
Squeaky Shelly, does he call you that? Usually I have it. I've gotten better. You know, when I first started my podcast, I was very much, there was a lot of challenging moments as I talked to different people. And then I did things on purpose to challenge myself that were just silly and ridiculous. But usually I have a handle on the going really high and uncomfortable. But apparently some of this subject is, yeah, okay. Anyways.
Apparently, I just have this effect on people, full stop.
Oh, yes. that sounds amazing. It's white and virginal and first times with Shelly.
Yes.
Shelly, I mean, yeah, I know you've taken it. So this is a little different. You've done the straight nudes and the kind of sensual photography, but some of the stuff you're doing is really intimate and very relationship oriented. Have you had things you had to work through to get to that point? Or has it been just, you've been so secure in your relationship that you've just, you know, I want to tell the world.
To be honest, I think I feel really secure in my relationship with Stefan. I think because that whole thing about communication happened right from the start, and because we don't live near each other, Stefan actually lives how many miles away? Stefan?
442.
442, you know exactly.
So there's quite a distance. So we had to find really, I guess, quite unusual ways to really learn about one another. You know, we did playlists of music that we liked, it reminded us of each other. And we even did a day where we did like throwback photos of our past, of our childhood, of families, of embarrassing photos, really cool stuff. You know, the yes no game where you could only ask each other questions but we could only answer yes or no. So I feel like before I even met Stefan, I feel like I knew him really, really intimately in every way. And I've never had that experience before, and it was really quite special from the get-go, you know. I think that's why I'm able to do these kinds of images with him, because they're honest. It's not just photography. They're really honest, emotional images of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they feel that. They come through, you know. It really comes through, the all of that relationship building and the intimacy and the power of that connection. Mm-hmm. That, and that's neat that you guys did those different games. I like that idea. That's really sounds really fun.
It was really
fun. COVID has just been evil. So, and now you are, where are you now? You are in the same building now today. Yes, I believe, right? Yes.
Well, we were until we started talking to you and we had to get separated again.
Now you're separated. But how long will that be last? How long will you be able to be together in the same place?
I have to leave again tomorrow morning.
Oh, no.
Yes, I know. And I think we've worked it out. We're not going to be able to see each other again until the 10th of September.
I hurt for you.
Yes. it's going to be a long few weeks.
It is. And obviously, I miss him so much. But you know that thing, absence makes the heart grow fonder?
Yeah.
I think that, see, because our time together is so precious and limited, it makes it more special.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I can see that, but I still hurt for you. You don't take anything for granted. Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I see that. Absolutely. So, okay. So I'm trying to think, make sure I got everything. We've talked about poetry. We've talked about Chelly's story. We've talked about I think we're doing pretty good here.
I'm impressed.
Are you? I am too. I thought we wouldn't be able to get to everything. I was really worried. So we did talk about, tell me your first impressions. Now we're going to get to the nitty gritty. Tell me your first impression of this Stefan man when you're on Twitter and he's, how did that work? Your first meeting, were you like, okay, I like him, or like, what's happening here?
Well, when I first stumbled across Stefan on Twitter, I was quite fascinated. Because I was like, all these images, like, what is this about? You know, really, this is new to me. Wow. And so I was initially fascinated, but I think at one point he also posted completely non-kinky images from his travels overseas, and I was like, oh my God, this man is like super talented in lots of ways. So I really wanted to shoot with him. And I think we started talking and stuff just on a professional basis. And then I had sort of read a few books about the whole BDSM world. And I was like, oh God. And what really struck me was it was this bond. You know, it was none of the kinky shit, right? Take it all away. It was this bond. I was like, God, that's amazing. And then Stefan and I started chatting because I actually asked him questions about that lifestyle and asked him to be honest. And he was very honest. I was like, oh my goodness, you'll get me fed up. And he had like a million and one bloody questions.
So you approached him.
Yeah. And so we got chatting, and then the next thing you know, he's like, well, you know, I hope one day you'll call me sir. I was like, he says, I don't want to overstep the mark and shoot myself in the foot to ruin the chances of working with you, but I'd love to hear you call me sir one day. Can I give you the number? I was like, yeah, here's the number. Here's the number. So straight away, I was like, all right, okay. And the rest is really history. You know, we speak every day, we talk every day. It's been very intense.
Stefan, what did you think? You work with a lot of different women, so talking to a woman about modeling and working with you was not really a stretch for you. But what did tell me your the evolution of your thoughts?
I was shocked. I felt like I was kidnapped off the internet. So one moment I'm talking to this young, sweet, innocent young lady. She's asking me lots of questions. They're all quite naive, typical sort of vanilla questions. And I make a throwaway comment that involves my phone number. And next thing you know, I've been hijacked. I'm getting messages on a regular basis.
Oh, please.
Stop it.
I was somewhat shocked, and I have to say a little bit flattered at the same time.
Really? So,
only a little bit flattered.
Only a little bit flattered.
Anybody who's ever met an Englishman knows that we are the masters of understatements.
I'm glad you said that.
It was absolutely fantastic. And I have never, since I've been down the road of BDSM, I've never met somebody who is going from completely vanilla into the lifestyle. So that aspect for me is absolutely brand new. And I had no idea how to approach it. Even now, I feel like it's just baby steps. But it's a whole new learning curve. And it's something else that I almost don't want to bring it back to photography, but I will do, because those emotions that I'm capturing now with Shelley are based upon her journey and, to some extent, my journey at the same time. There aren't any words that can describe that I could put out there. I'm sure that, you know, if I sent you a couple of our pictures, you'd soon write something around it and it would be wholly accurate. But for me, I'm just speechless now, so I'm going to shut up before I start blithering anymore.
So you told me you went into this spanky hitty club and you were like, what is happening here? So how did you know you were a dom then? If that was your kind of your first experience, you're walking into this fetish club and how did you know that was your thing?
It was more the model that introduced me to it.
Okay.
I had worked with her at her home. And on the very first occasion, she told me she was a submissive. I didn't even know what a submissive was. I was that naive. But she started to explain it. But like most people, when they're explaining BDSM, I'm guilty of this as well. We tend to get hung up on the hitty thumpy side of things, or the humiliation aspects and all sorts of activities that take place rather than looking at the emotional aspects. So she's telling me all about this stuff and I'm kind of listening, but mostly switching off thinking, nah, not for me, not my thing at all. But then I said something about orgasm denial and forced orgasms. Why I found myself talking about that, I cannot remember. But that was the conversation. And she turned around and she said, oh my God, she said, you're a sadist. I said, I'm bloody not. I said, I do it because I know it gives pleasure. And I've seen the way that women quiver at the end of this kind of experience. She said, no, she said, you're a bloody sadist. And she kind of explained. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I can see a little bit of that. But I'm thinking Marquis de Sade sadism, you know, chaining people up, whipping them and nipple clamps. I'm getting quite excited at the moment. Is that wrong?
Oh, stop it! Come on, focus, man, focus!
I'm focusing. Anyway, after I'd worked with her, she loved my photography. She invited me down to this club, and she specifically wanted me to photograph her and her dom together, which I did, and that was the moment. It was the look that I saw between those two.
Yeah.
And then I would go back to the club on other occasions because other people wanted to work with me by then. And I found myself drawn into the world. It wasn't until I met my own sub that I started to explore the
yeah, the more physical aspects of it. And whilst I didn't think it was for me, it was one of those areas where as much as a sub is trying to please a dom wants to please their sub. So if a sub is craving certain activities, it's a dom's duty to do that as a form of reward. And that then got me exploring myself and my own kinks and things like that. I've done things that I haven't enjoyed, but I've had a sub that's enjoyed them. My sub has done things for my pleasure, whilst not necessarily enjoying them themselves. But at the end of the day, we've then spoken about it and we've come to agreements and things like that. And again, that's the kind of thing that I don't think you really see in vanilla relationships.
Oh, you don't. You don't.
So, yeah, have I waffled enough? Or
no, you did good. You did good. I was wondering, I always wonder how people, for me, it's all in the writing and in the reading. And I'm still not really, I don't know, I don't really consider myself submissive, though I've been told. But, because I write the Omegaverse, and I didn't know when I first started. So Omegaverse has alphas and omegas, and the alphas are dominant, and the omegas are submissive. And they are that way because of biology. It kind of cuts off that you just are that way because in the books, because of biology, and the communication comes in a kind of a spiritual connection that kind of rams out it all, makes it fantasy basically. Yeah. So, but I was still writing those things. And I work with a man who does amazing audio. I don't know if you've listened to him, but if you ever want audio for anything, he has a fantastic voice and he is a consummate professional. His name is Ben at In My Hands Audio. I wrote something for him from one of my books, and he's like, I need to write more, because he's like, I love this character. The way you write it, and he's like great about, he's complimenting my writing, but he's like, and it has this DDLG feel, this daddy dom, little girl. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. That's what I'm thinking in my head. And he's like, telling me it does. And I'm like, and it just flows so great. And I'm like, no, what are you talking about? These are consenting adults. It does not. There's no diapers and pacifiers in there. So I had to go back and I'm looking, and then I'm like, oh, maybe it does. Oh, wow. It really does relate to the, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was surprised, actually, even though I'd been reading it and writing, I was surprised how well the whole BDSM and the dime, it still kind of mystifies me, because, I'm very vanilla. So where is this coming from? But
sounds like there are some boundaries to be pushed there.
Oh, see what you've done now. See what you've done now.
Just keep that to yourself. We're just not.
I won't say a word. I'll pretend there's nobody listening.
Yes, nobody's listening. Audience, no. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to end with that. You guys have been on for about an hour, and I just thank you so much for this and for future collaborations, and for coming on and telling your story, your Twitter romance story, which will encourage people. People are like, does that really happen? It does once in a while. Don't go on Twitter looking for it, but sometimes.
Oh yeah, that would be a mistake.
Yeah, don't go. I don't advise that, but yes, sometimes that happens. And and be careful and be wise about all of that, whenever you slide into anybody's DMs. But thank you for sharing your story, Shelley, your powerful story. And I have shared out both your websites. So if I'll put them in my comment section that I have when I post this. Because it is daytime, it will probably take hours for this to post and process, but it'll be up by your time tomorrow at some point in time. So thank you so much.
And thank you. And I tell you what, it's been really nice just
chatting to you and hearing your voice.
That's exactly what I was thinking as well. Can I just quickly say, this is something else Stefan and I have discovered. He can finish sentences for me and vice versa, or sometimes we'll message each other at exactly the same time, saying exactly the same thing. And it can be on Twitter, it can be on message, and I'm like, oh my God, stop it.
You're in each other's heads. That's amazing. Yeah, that's beautiful.
It's beyond that. It's fucking scary.
Oh, that's neat. It's funny. Right. That's really amazing. That see, you have this. You have the fantasy connection. It's the alpha and the omega.
I'm going to have to start reading that now, aren't I?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my next book's got so much sex in it. So, you know.
Oh, yes. We can read it together.
Just send me the link.
So much. Okay. So, thank you guys so much. You guys have a great day.
Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
Oh, let's see. This has been Isabel and Wright's Grown Up Story Time, and you guys have been joined me while talking with Stefan and Shelley. Stefan and Shelley. And how great. Oh my goodness. English and Scottish accents and everything, and so much getting to know their personal life and their creative lives and their projects and the project I get to work on with them. And learning more about BDSM and that journey. Everybody has a story to tell, and right now, this kink story is just my thing, my jam. I'm just finding out and discovering new things about people and relationships and communication and how the world works. And it's just interesting to me. And I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you have a great day. Remember that your story is important. I don't care if I agree with it or not. It communicates empathy with the world and builds understanding. Didn't you learn something new today? So have a great day. Thank you so much for joining me.